Well, good morning. What a great day to be a child of God. I tell you, yesterday was a great day, and it was a great day for many reasons. When you're waiting on something to happen, and when it finally does, then you can just get on with your life. And yesterday was one of those days for me. Many people were surprised last week that I didn't say anything about, the football game last week when my beloved Missouri Tigers took down the number one Oklahoma Sooners in a great game for me, not so great for my sister, Becky Jackson. But I'll be honest, I felt bad Saturday because I honestly, and I love Becky more than I love the Missouri Tigers. I'll be honest with you. I do. And somebody had to lose that game and it was her. And I felt bad. I told Vic, I said, man, that's bad. I just feel bad. But I was waiting for this day. I was waiting for the day that the Tigers lost. And now that they did, I can get on my life. I can get on because I knew it was coming. It's, as Ward points out, it's never going to happen. They're never going to win the national championship, although I pray for that every year. I hope for that every year. And I know that. Down deep in the places I don't like to talk about, I know that it's never going to happen. And so now I can just move on, and I don't have to be anticipating something that's not going to happen. But yesterday was a big day, not only because I get to move on with my life now, but what a great day. We had such a huge turnout of people of men and women to roof a lady's house that desperately needed roofing. And we showed up about 8 o'clock in the morning. We were supposed to be there at 7:30, and Howard and Eric were the only ones there on time. But as any Church of Christ gathering is going, no Church of Christ gathering's worth starting unless it's worth starting, half an hour late. But we got, there's a ton of people. By 10 o'clock, there was no roofing, no decking, no nothing on this house. We had torn it all down. And at that point, we looked around and I made the comment, guys, I hope you realize we're committed now. I mean, we're committed to this thing. There's no, hey, we'll see you in a week, we'll be back later. I mean, the roof needed to be replaced, but by 10 o'clock, it was sorely worse than it was when we got there. I mean, there was rafters and there were holes in the ceiling where a couple of individuals had stepped through, because that was how damaged this roof was. As they were walking, you would hear it crack, crack, and then all of a sudden you'd be up to your waist in roof and, flailing about. And now, for all the comments about my increased girth since I have become a Tennessean, I was not one of the ones who went through the roof. I just want that to be on record. Wes Winton beat me by 2 holes and Frank beat me by 1. So I just want that to be on the record there. I know it's like the old saying, the guys that, they're the two Church of Christ guys fishing with the Baptists, and they're out there fishing in this little boat, and they run out of bait. And so they got to go back to the shore to get bait. They said, oh, I'll go get it. So one Church of Christ guy gets out of the boat, and he just walks right across the water, just gets to the shore, and he gets the bait. And he walks right back across and gets to the boat. And then they forgot their sandwiches, and that's on the shore. And so the other church guy, oh, I'll get it. So he jumps out, walks across the water, goes to the shore, gets the sandwiches, walks back and gets in the boat. And he's eating, and the Baptist guy's sitting there, what in the world? So I said, we left my favorite tackle box is on the shore. And the Baptist guy's, well, I can do this. I'll go get it. I'm like, okay. So he jumps out of the boat and sinks right to the bottom. And while he's down there, said, hey, you think we should tell him where the stumps are? Well, I was thinking, should I tell him where the rafters are? If you walk on those, you won't. We had torn it off. It was all down. You could see the insulation. You could see the skylights that we had made. Uh, and you know, we look around and realize, you know, we're committed to this thing. We're committed now. I mean, it's like the difference between the chicken and the pig at breakfast. You know, the chicken is involved, but the pig is committed. You know, we're committed. We're going to be there until this is done. Now, we didn't get completely finished. We made it weatherproof, and we've got about 25% of shingles left, and we're going to finish it up today. But God was glorified yesterday. I mean, God is glorified. Now, this lady, I'll just tell you, and she's not here this morning, and we're working on that. She's going to be. This lady's name is Katrina Winton, no relation to our Wes Winton. And she's early 30s, has a child, and life has happened to her over the years. And she's had a lot of repairs needed to be on this roof and on her house. And so, you know, as neighbors, as being good neighbors, as Earl pointed out, through the relationship process, Troy and Sue Ellen have discovered that Katrina needs a lot of things met in her life physically, like a new roof, like companionship, like friendship, like prayers, like encouragement. And then you get Angela Luna involved, and they've become friends, and Carrie Ann has become friends with. And so we're all, they're just building these relationships, and lo and behold, she needs a new roof. And so Troy, being the missionary that he is, he says, well, I just can't sleep next door to this going on, and somebody that needs something and really doesn't have the financial situation now to take care of this. And so, you know, procured all of these materials and said, I've got some brothers who do not even know this person. I met her yesterday for the first time. And tore that roof off, started putting it back on. And I promise you, someone who does not have a church home, someone who does not know the joy of what we know, met the Lord yesterday. She saw God show up in her yard at 8 o'clock in the morning and fix her house. Now, all the Bible studies in the world will never ever compare to what she encountered yesterday. And we have an opportunity to build on that. We have an opportunity to continue to show up and continue to befriend this person. And guess what's going to happen? God's going to be glorified. She's going to see that this is more than just a club. This is more than just an intellectual assent to a group of rules and a list of beliefs. This is all about God fixing people on the inside so that they can be different to people on the outside. And I'll be honest with you, I could not be more proud of a congregation than I am today than we had, 10, 12 guys show up and work and do things. And you know how many men on that roof yesterday had ever had prior roofing experience? I think, you know, I have, and Wes has, Troy has, but not until he, you know, we went down to New Orleans, and he's not really that good at it, I'll be honest with you. But you know what? That's no excuse. You know, Eric, you was up on that roof yesterday. Had no concept of what he was doing. No clue, really. And you know how I knew? Because he asked me questions every 3 seconds. What's that? What's that? And I'm just answering. He said, I've never done this. I want to learn. I'm like, you know what? Had no idea what he was doing, but I want to be up there. I want to be helping. See, there's things we don't know how to do in the kingdom, and we should not let that be an excuse to not do them. Snuggle up next to somebody that's done it and learn how to do it and go and just go do. Go show up. I mean, guys, there was no way we could break that roof anymore than it's already broke. You know, there's certain things you can't, you know, we say, well, I can't share the gospel because I don't know enough. People aren't going to get loster than they are now because we're not talking to them. People aren't going to get any further from God because we try to tell them the truth. They're not. So just tell them the good news. People aren't, you know, we think we let all these barriers get in our way. Well, I don't know them. Well, they should do that. Well, I don't know. I don't know any of that. I don't know if she shouldn't have let the roof get in that condition in the first place. But praise God she did. Praise God that she did. Because we had an opportunity yesterday that was taken full advantage of. You ever think about it like that? That God get that, you know what? Well, you should have known better. You should have, well, maybe, but look at what we get to do now. Yeah, I mean, what an awesome opportunity. This is the challenge going forward. Find more roofs. Can you find a roof this week? Can you find a roof this week that we can show up on and fix for the glory of the Lord? And maybe it's not a roof. Maybe it's a bathroom floor, or maybe it's a yard, or maybe it's a hungry family that we can just show up and bring food to. Something. Look to your left and look to, when you get home today, look to your left and your right and behind you and across the street and see if there's a neighbor that you know that might need, maybe they just need a visit. You go over there and visit them, sit with them, talk to them. Learn who that, you know, find out about their kids or grandkids or whatever. And I promise you, God will show you a way into their life. And then He'll show you a way to bring some more of us into their life. And then, lo and behold, there'll be more of us because of it. I mean, that's what it's about right there. We're going to talk about, I promise you, building kingdom relationships. And I don't mean to get off the reservation so often, but you know, I can't help but preach about things that happen. Because that's real life yesterday. That's real life. And the relationships that were made, the relationships that were strengthened up there, you know, picking on Eric again, you know, he told me, and you know, he said, we're up there, and he goes, you know what, I never really talked to Howard Kirksey till today. I mean, how long have you gone to church in a place? And we're not big. We're not a huge congregation. I mean, if you look around, this is about it. This is us right here. It's what we look like. I mean, there's some that are missing, but that we're not. There's not 500-600 people here. And you can go to church here and not know everybody. But you show up to a mission trip and you're going to know them people. You're going to know them. And that's what. And then you find out there's so much of life and this journey that we need to walk together. Because days like yesterday, I mean, we have some of the most meaningful, deep, spiritually uplifting conversations than we ever had. I tell you what, let's do this for a second, and we'll. If you got your order of worship, just put that down. And you know, I didn't plan on doing this, and I do. Just so you know, y'all paid me to write a sermon this week, and I did. And there's one in there, and you'll hear it next week. But this is the thing: is we get hung up in doing church, and we protect this hour of the week like more than anything. And that's important. And what we do here is important on Sunday, because what it does is it makes us into and encourages us and challenges us into what we're going to be the rest of the week. You see, if we leave here today and all we did was participate in an activity, then we're missing it. If we leave here today and all we do is think about what we liked about the service, you know, Dan really picks out good songs, or I didn't like any of them songs Dan picked out, or you know, if we leave here today and think, you know what, then we're missing it. But if we leave here today and we're thinking, you know what, I got to find a way to be Jesus this week for somebody. I got to find a way to introduce someone to the kingdom, to the good news that's changed my life. If that's what we leave here doing, then we got it a little bit. We got it. It affected us. Now, protect the week. Be here. Make plans to be here so that you can be encouraged, so that you can be, you know, that we can have moments like that where we fellowship. But that's, it doesn't stop here. And the only way that we can get those deep and meaningful relationships and conversations is by showing up to the extracurricular activity, as it were. Yesterday, we're up there, and, you know, Eric, I apologize if I'm going to talk about, well, you know, you didn't tell me, don't tell nobody, so here we go. We're up there, and Eric says, can I ask you a kind of an off-the-wall question? I said, okay. And there, you know, there's a couple of us standing around. He said, you ever scared to die? And first of all, I looked in his hand because I thought, well, am I getting ready to? You know, because we've been working awful hard, and I didn't know, you know, and Eric said, and so we talked about that. We talked about what, you know, about life and death and the reality of what it is that we do and where it is that we're, and all of this. And so we, you know, and one of the things came up that, you know, well, I just don't want to be a burden on my, you know, Eric said, I just, you know, as I get old, I just don't want to be a burden. And I thought, well, I understand that. But do we think about relationships like this and the relationships that we have? And one of the things that I think we allow is Satan to define things for us instead of allowing God to define things for us. And we think about the service that we render and the service given. Do we allow people to serve us? Now think about that for a second. Do we allow, is it difficult for us to be served? Is it difficult for us to be, you know, because we always want to be, you know, I don't want to be a burden. I don't want to be a, but think about the, who do we think we are taking away an opportunity for God to be glorified in the lives of others through our needs? Do we hide those times when we really need to be served? Do we just really struggle and muscle up under the load so that we're not a burden to anyone else? I mean, think about the lack of scripture that we would have if the man who was brutally beaten and laid on the side of the road and left for dead, if when the Samaritan came by and said, "Can I help you?" He started limping. No, I'm good. You go on. I'm fine. I'm just going to walk it off. I'll be okay. I'll be all right. I got some more clothes down the road. But no, he, you know, in that case, the guy was so brutally wounded and just so abused that he had no choice. And so he had to be served. And God was glorified in that service. And so we kept talking about, I just don't want to be a burden. Well, why not? Why not? Well, I'm not saying I want to be a burden, but I don't want to take away from the opportunity for my kids, if God chooses, to feel the closeness to me and the closeness to God by having to take care of me later on. You know, I thought about like this. You know, my mom was taken from me almost 17 years ago, and you know, y'all have heard that story, and I promise you, I would go back and I would take her on her worst day just to be with her. If I could change that at all and be able to serve her in her agedness, it has taught me that I would do that with joy. I would do that with joy. Is service for us in the kingdom, is it a joy or is it a burden? Do we have relationships with people in our lives so that when we need, it is a joy for them to show up? Here's what I'm getting at. I have a very good relationship with a lot of people here, and I have a super close relationship with certain people, and even though most of the time I know he wants to hit me in the head with a crowbar, you know, Frank and I are very close. And he has no idea when he calls me for something as minuscule as, "Hey, can I borrow your trailer to take my mower to the shop?" Do you know what a joy it is for me to do that? It's an absolute joy to be needed in the kingdom and to help and to serve. Is our life like that? And the reason it's that way is because I think about it like this. First of all, I'm not serving some ornery old man. I'm serving Jesus. I'm serving Jesus. I'm serving Jesus as minuscule and as small as carting a mower to the shop for somebody. I'm serving the Lord. And I get to be Jesus in those times. As small as it is to show up to cart a mower to the shop, I get to be Jesus for. I get to you know, he says, take my yoke upon me and learn from me, because my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Isn't that what God does for us? Is that he relieves needs? He relieves pressure for us. He helps us out. He makes life better. Do we think about the service that we get to do for one another as being Jesus, as taking their load and making it lighter? Do we put our lives and our service in that kind of framework, or do we put it in the framework of a burden? It's even the way we talk. I don't want to be a burden. Well, guess what? You won't be. If you have kingdom relationships with people in your life, like your children, like your spouse, like your friends, then it's not a burden. It might be inconvenient at times, but as long as we think about it in kingdom references and in kingdom perspectives, it's not a burden. Yesterday, getting out of bed, going to serve on a house of somebody that we didn't even know, you know, missing a football game. You know, I didn't watch a minute of that game yesterday. Had the best day I can remember. Cutting up, having a great, because you know what? We're serving God and being Jesus for people. You see, people will never care about our God if they don't believe that we care about their friendship. They won't. And we can hear and memorize and preach all the sermons we want, but until we see people as Jesus and we see ourselves as getting to be Jesus and therefore serving, doesn't Hebrews say that Jesus saw and with the joy set before him, for the joy, he endured the cross. He endured for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Can you think about the cross in terms of joy? We think about it when we think about Matthew or Mark 9, that says, or Luke 9, excuse me, said, if anyone who would come after me, he must deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. And we think about that, and we're like, oh no, I got to pick up a cross. Jesus thought, he saw that, and he thought, oh good, I get to pick up a cross. Because he got to be the Savior. He got to save those that he loved. See, if we think about our lives in kingdom terms, it's not a burden. It's not a burden at all. If we think about our lives in outside of kingdom terms, guess what? Luke 15, when the older brother said, you know, I can't go in and eat with that guy. I can't, you know, when the prodigal son, when the wasteful son, when the son who got to take all of the money and got to go out into the world and got to spend it all and got to do whatever he wanted to do. And then he comes home and remember what the older brother said? I can't go in there and eat with him because I, you know, every day I've been here and I've been laboring for you and slaving for you. And it's been, I've been working here for you and you've never so much as offered me a small goat to enjoy with my friends. And Father, I know he's thinking, is that what life in my house is like for you? Is that what being my child is like for you? Is it a burden? Is it slavery? You get to enjoy all of the benefits of the family. You see, outside of kingdom terms, our relationship with God is a burden. Our relationship with others is a burden. But when we think about it as in terms of love, in terms of being and receiving Jesus, well, it's a joy. It's a joy. We get to go back today and finish up that roof. And there's not a whole lot of work left, but over the next couple of days and the next couple of weeks, we get the opportunity to continue to show up in this young lady's life, to show her what God's really like. You know, Jesus said more than anything, you know, he asked his disciples, remember when he said, you know, what are people saying about me? You know, what's the word on the street about me? And the disciples said, well, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're John the Baptist, come back from the dead. And Jesus said, well, what do you say about me? And, you know, Peter said, well, I believe you're this Christ, the Son of the living God. And we get caught up in what Peter said. You're the Christ. And we say, yeah, I believe that too. But we think about, why would Jesus ask that question? Why would Jesus ask, what are people saying about me out there? What do people think about me? There's a lot of error. There's a lot of error about God out there. There's a lot of people saying a lot of things about God that just is not true. We get an opportunity to right that. We get an opportunity to correct that. Say, no, God's not that. God is this. God shows up. God loves you. God serves you. God wants to, wants you in here. God wants you to be part of His family. God's not looking for ways to exclude you. God's trying to show you that He desperately wants you in this family. He's not trying to disqualify you on a technicality. He's pursuing you with all of the passion and all of the recklessness and all of the waste that He can muster. You realize that's how God pursues. It's reckless and it's wasteful. The Bible tells us over and over again how wasteful God is with His grace and His love. He just gives it out there. I mean, He's not a miser with it. Isn't that what He said when He goes and says, I need people to work in my kingdom, in my vineyard? He goes out in the morning and He gets people and He says, I'll pay you a day's wage. Then He goes out at lunch and He gets people and says, I'll pay you. He goes out at the 11th hour and He gets people. He says, I'll pay you too. And then when it comes to pay everybody, those who worked all day said, well, we should get more. And He said, why? Are you so angry because I'm liberal and generous and really the Bible says I'm wasteful with what I have? We think about God. He pursues people in ways that are efficient, and He pursues people in ways that are inefficient. We get to tell people that. We get to serve people that way. With no thought of repayment. With no desire for repayment. With there no ability to be repaid. What a joy that service is. That's kingdom work. That's building kingdom relationships. This week, find a roof. Pray about it. Spend time in prayer. God, show me a roof. Give me a roof, and then let me serve on it. God, show me a life that You want changed for Your glory. And in the process, if He has to change your heart, if it starts out and it's the labor is burdensome and it's tiresome and it makes you angry, then guess what? God's bringing to the surface and purging all of those things that we all need to be purged, and all of that resentment, all of that the ego, all of those things. See, but if we never get out and serve, if we never get up on that root, we'll never know that those things are there. And we'll live life with a false sense of security. Well, I promise you this, even though I've got the sermon for next week already written, I'm not gonna, take the week off. Rest assured, I'm gonna work this week too. I'm gonna study, and this sermon is gonna be that much better. But next week we're gonna talk about love keeps no record of wrongs. Guess what? When we don't keep record of wrongs, we're free to serve. Because what's one reason we don't want to serve people? Well, they don't. You know what they did? They don't deserve it. They don't need it. They don't live it. We keep record of wrongs. But next week, we're going to talk about building great relationships beyond forgiveness. Because keeping no record of wrong is really beyond forgiveness. It's not just forgiveness, but it's going beyond it. And it's living life after we say, I have forgiven. So that's next week. But this week, join me in praying for more opportunities to just flat be Jesus and to show up and to correct the lies that are being said about our Lord and to be the truth about Jesus. It starts with making Him Lord. It starts with making Him the ruler and the master of your life. And some of us need that. Some of us need to make, instead of me being the shot caller in my life, some of us need to make God the caller of the shots. God, You redefine my priorities if need be. God, you tell me what's important, what I should spend on, what I should spend time on, what I should dwell on, what I should think about, what I should do with all of the resources. God, you redefine what's important for me. Some of us need that desperately. God, you be my Lord. He is our Savior. He is our Savior, ready, willing, and able to take away the barrier of our transgressions. Accept Him as Savior, allow Him to be Lord, and then go and be the hands and feet of Jesus. Whatever your need is this morning, let us know as together we stand and sing.